I hope everybody's taking note who's here.
Yeah.
I know, here. All right, everybody, well, listen, we're going to go ahead and get the Land Use Committee meeting called to order here. We are unfortunately lacking a quorum today, so we can conduct the Land Use Committee meeting, still have all of our presentations. So as far as our guests are concerned today, nothing really has changed as far as that. It's just we won't be able to have an official approval of minutes. We do have the sign-in sheet going around in the clipboard. Please take a minute to sign in and please give your information. That way, if an issue was to come up later, that we would have somebody that we'd be able to contact to talk to about it. So again, we're going to go ahead and convene the meeting. Let the record reflect that Councilwoman Diller, Councilman Sheldon, and my aide Valerie are taking notes. We did hear from Bell, Cartier, Weiner, Kilpatrick, and Powers, and possibly Smiley will not be here either. So therefore, we will move forward. Councilman Retta is not able to make it today due to some family issues that are going on, so I will be handling his applications today in the committee meeting. First item on our agenda would be a resolution. We'll be hearing renaming of a subdivision of Churchman's Meadows. Do we have an applicant here for that? Okay, Mr. Haggerty, if you would like to give us a brief presentation.
I sure will. George Haggerty, Land Use Department. This is a renaming of a subdivision. The normal process is resolutions created by the district council person. It's forwarded to us. We sent it around to make sure that the public safety folks have no problems with it, and it's not causing, in other words, another double name, or it's causing a problem with 911 addressing and things of this nature. We've done that. We've done the normal review. It's back in front of you for a ministerial vote for a resolution.
Where's the application at in the process, or the project at in the process? Has this started?
It's waiting for you, I think, to get approval.
Just the name?
Change is all.
And then they'll be ready to take some ground?
Yes.
All right. I do know Councilman Reddy shared with me, and perhaps, I don't know if you have any dialogue with this developer since they didn't decide to come to our meeting today to engage with us, but there is a little bit of dissatisfaction out there with this project's been around for a long time.
It has.
And now here it is ready to move, and for whatever reason, the developers chose that they didn't need to engage the surrounding community. And anytime that happens, I'm not going to badger you here because you're the standing.
I have broad shoulders today. Let me stand this way so you can see how wide they are.
And I know you're not just another pretty face, as you told us a couple times.
We have another pretty face coming later on today to make a presentation. I got your comment the other day.
Right. So, and I know Councilman Retta will be sharing with Mr. Weiner also, but please, you know, if you happen to engage or talk with him, and there, you know, there is issues like this do create more issues for us as the elected body with not having the engagement in the community and then just moving forward. So even though they are moving forward in something, a plan like this that, you know, wasn't a rezoning, it still need to engage the community so they're aware of what's going on. So thank you, sir.
If I see them, I will let them know.
All right, next we're going to move on to ordinances. This is substitute one to ordinance 15053, the parking garage ordinance. Again, I'll be walking this one through the process. Let the record reflect also that Councilman Hollins has joined us. George, are you going to want to open this up?
Thank you. Janet Vince is going to make this presentation and walk you through the slide presentation, and her and I will both be available for questions at the end of that.
Good, thank you.
Okay.
Hello. Janet Vince, I'm a planner with the Department of Land Use. This proposed amendment provides consistency throughout Chapter 40 of the New Castle County Code by clarifying that the gross floor area of a parking structure will not be considered in site capacity calculations or used in determining whether a plan is processed as a major or minor land development plan. However, gross floor area of a parking structure will be used to calculate the processing fee for such structure. Additionally, new special use standards will be adopted to provide protection to the surrounding community from the visual impacts of a parking structure. Benefits of this ordinance include clarifying the review process for a land development plan containing parking structure gross floor area, encouraging more compact parking areas and the preservation of additional open space, creating standards to ensure context sensitivity of parking structures, and providing protections to surrounding communities from the impacts of a parking structure. Parking structures shall be permitted on any parcel which would otherwise allow at-grade parking if approved as a special use. Parking structures will be subject to the same bulk and area requirements as the principal use for which it is designed to serve. Parking structures will be required to meet the following site design standards addressing visibility, mass, and scale. 1. Architectural design and massing will be consistent with adjacent buildings and the surrounding communities in both proportion and scale. 2. Facade elevations will utilize articulation and materials to complement the adjacent buildings. 3. Ramps and decks will be screened from view by way of architectural design. 4. Pedestrian entrances will have building features that are human scaled. 5. Where a parking structure is adjacent to an existing residential use or residential zoning district, the design will incorporate transitional elements to minimize impacts to the surrounding community. Transitional elements will include lighting that is designed so that there is 0-foot candle at the property line of the residential area or zoning district, and vehicular access and egress will be located as to minimize impact to the residential area. On land development plans proposing a parking structure, there will be an increase in the landscape surface ratio of no less than 50% above the minimum LSR required. Additionally, where a parking structure is adjacent to an existing residential use, residentially zoned land, or street right-of-way, the required buffer yard capacity will be increased by 0.2 of what is required by Table 40.04.111. For example, if a parking structure were approved to be located in the OR zoning district, the required 0.4 buffer yard opacity would be increased to a 0.6 buffer yard opacity. The benefits of the design standards proposed by this ordinance can be seen in this example.
Go back to the plan.
Mm-hmm. And then the one before that. Okay, now go forward. Okay. All right. The benefits of the design standards proposed by this ordinance can be seen in this example of land development plan. The first version of the plan includes surface parking, which covers much of the site. The revised plan includes a parking structure, which allows for more compact parking areas and the preservation of additional open space. And this would be with the provisions under the proposed ordinance. Okay, next slide. Once adopted, this ordinance will provide special use design standards to provide protection to the surrounding community from the visual impacts of a parking structure. The Board of Adjustment, at a public hearing, will hear and render decisions on special use permits. Approval of special use permit will be dependent upon findings that the use complies with the following standards. Approval of a special use application will be dependent upon findings that the use complies with the following standards. 1. The use meets the requirements of Division 40.03-300 of the UDC. The use is consistent with the Comprehensive Development Plan. The use is compatible with the character of the land in the immediate vicinity. The design minimizes the adverse effects, including visual impacts on adjacent lands. The use minimizes adverse impacts on the environment or government services. And the intensity of the use will not exceed that permitted by Article 5. The Board of Adjustment may impose restrictions and conditions on the approval of a special use to ensure the special use is developed as presented in drawings, exhibits, and applications made at the public hearing, ensure the general purposes, goals, and objectives of the Comprehensive Development Plan and the UDC are met, and prevent or minimize the adverse effects from the proposed use and development on other properties in the neighborhood and on the public health, safety, and general welfare. At the Planning Board public hearing on July 7th, the Department of Land Use provided an overview of the proposed ordinance. Three members of the public spoke in favor of the proposed text amendment. After considering the standards for text amendment in Section 40.31.420 of the Newcastle County Code and comments received from the public and other agencies, the Department of Land Use recommends approval of Ordinance Number 2015-053. At their business meeting earlier today, the Planning Board voted to recommend approval of this ordinance. Are there any questions?
Do you want to talk briefly about some of the comments that came up at the Planning Board? And I know one of the members had a couple of concerns they want to clarify.
From this morning's meeting?
Yeah.
One of the questions was...
Ms. Shepherd?
Yes, he had some questions about the landscape surface ratio.
Right.
And... Refresh my memory.
Well, the landscape surface ratio requires that a 50% improvement be done, but the plan is also tied. The plan that's in front of us is a record plan. That's all you get to do. You don't get to do more. You don't get to do less. So his concern or his question was, how does it protect the open space around it? Is that the question you're trying to get to?
These are the comments you just said.
Right. How did that protect it? It protects it. First way it protects it, it doubles the amount of landscape surface ratio that's required. Next way it protects it, the plan is cemented in stone, if you will. And if somebody were to ask for additional square footage, that square footage is going to trigger them into a major plan anyway. The idea behind this whole ordinance was to try to figure a consistent way to deal with a parking structure in relationship to an office building. An office building certainly operates and works and functions a certain way. A parking structure operates and functions, in a somewhat different way. And we're trying to be consistent with it. In December 1997, we passed the UDC. I wasn't here when that happened, so I can't take any responsibility for the things that weren't right. But in mid-1998, we actually changed a section of the code that allowed it to be parking structures. The site capacity did not count if you wanted to put a parking structure up. The goal was to try to give some incentive for people to change from surface parking to structure parking to thus protect the environment. If you can imagine, as a real visual, if you can imagine if the Christiana Mall were structurally parked, you would not have that sea of asphalt out there, and the people would be, be brought in closer to the place, to the stores themselves, and they'd have a much easier way of getting, to and from. But that hasn't happened that much. We are starting to see now, and I think if you ask the applicant, one of the reasons that they're being driven to this is because there's a new generation of workers coming on. They have expectations, they have ideas and demands, and they, the ones that are at the top of their ability, or have a little bit of ability to kind of influence what the environment is they're going to work in. So that parking structure comes in here. Sorry for the digression. Let me finish out the rest of the story. So later on in the UDC changes, we had some special ways that we treated parking structures in relationship to, if it was in a business park, it was a minor plan. If it was in an industrial center, it was a minor plan, and it didn't have to go through some of the iterations of it. The fact of the matter is, when you're going to build a structured parking, you are doing a positive thing by saving the environment, but you are creating a building that's almost equal in size. Not generally a little bit less than, but pretty close to being equal. And there needs to be some consideration, some review for that mass and scale. That's what this ordinance is trying to do, is provide that vehicle for that consistent vehicle for mass and scale, as well as providing a public forum for everyone to get in and have a meeting and a discussion. We currently use special use permits already, and the Board of Adjustment is the vehicle for those to occur. That is to say, as the examples I used earlier today, if you wanted to put lights up in an athletic field, you would need a special use permit. If you wanted to do high-intensity recreational activity in an industrial site, that is a special use permit. So what the special use permit does, process does, it makes everybody come in and explain themselves do it in a public forum, and there's an independent vote that's voted on. They get to evaluate the public's comments and community comments as well. So, did I get that covered?
Yeah, and I'm surprised we haven't been to the table with this before. I mean, something like this, you know, obviously seems to be long overdue.
We don't go to the table with something that nobody's asking for. It's more recently that people are asking for this and recognizing that it's becoming something somewhere between, it may have a better value, or it may be what the workforce that we're looking to employ is looking for. What's that word? I never got to use any of them.
We can use one called proactive in the future.
No, you know, when you got a perk. It's one of those perks that exist.
Okay. Councilman Hollins, I think you had a question.
Yes, I'm a proponent for structured parking, and I think the design standards go a long way in helping to preserve the communities where these structured parking facilities may be permitted. But I guess the review process is where I have questions, and I know that the Board of Adjustment, they do approve for special use, but I don't really buy into the logic of giving more to the Board of Adjustment for approval. If we're going to have the design standards as we have, why shouldn't those design standards, if they are codified, why shouldn't council approve it or not approve it? Why have another step in the process for something that's a positive step toward development, and have the applicant not only go through the process, but now go to the Board of Adjustment, when in fact it's my belief that it should be a council decision if these are codified? I see the Board of Adjustment special use, I get that, but I see the Board of Adjustment more importantly as to give uses that are not permitted in the code. So if it's codified, then the design standard should be approved by this council.
Would you like to respond?
Yes, please, somebody.
This is George Haggerty for the Land Use Department. This is where I wish I had brought my attorney with me, because she was actually the legal eagle that put this together. First part of it is, in order to do that, we most likely would have to ask the state law to be changed, because what you have available to review and not review is somewhat described in state law. Second piece of it, we definitely would have to have a large, discussion about it, and in a text amendment form, which we could have done. The belief was that we have a system that's in place right now that's, for all intents and purposes, is providing that. It was more about having a public review, a public review process. Incidentally, I talked about that a little bit today to the planning board. A lot of people think, well, I've got to have a public review process. So the public review process starts out with somebody pasting a yellow sign, somebody putting an announcement in the news journal for it, somebody setting up a public meeting with in front of the planning board in the county, the land use department, a joint public hearing. If it's a major plan, as you had one come through last week, it's a major plan, it had that public hearing, it had those public discussions, it went through the department signed off and said it and sent it to council, and you had a land use committee, and you had a review process for a major plan, for a whole brand new idea and concept. A piece of land that was vacant before, now it's coming to you, it's got houses on it and streets and, stormwater and all those things. But it's a ministerial review as it's defined, by the code. So we could have chosen that pattern or that path, and we could have put you in a ministerial review, say, not a yes or no review. We were trying to get to some place that had a little more, that was in place, that had a little more substance to it, where the yes or no was defined. And but I'm, having said that, if that's the will of council and the council wants to go that way after we've looked at this a little bit, then we'll come back and we'll have that conversation and we'll look at a different, going in a different direction.
What happens in the appeal process at the Board of Adjustment?
The appeal process is through Superior Court. They have 30 days from the day that the written decision is published. Anybody, any person at all can appeal. You don't have to have any particular unique standing in it to do it. You can appeal that within, but it has to be done, filed within 30 days from the time that the decision is written and posted on our books. That's the process for that. So it goes immediately to Superior Court.
Yeah, I didn't realize that we needed to get state code changed in order to...
That's what my legal eagles were telling me.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I didn't realize that. Then I guess it's the thing to do, I guess, if that's what state code is set up that way. It just seems to me that, as I said earlier, to have another review and a process that basically exempts counsel, if you will, and is codified, I just don't see the logic in that other than the state code, as you mentioned.
And I'm going to just hedge my bet for a second, because there was also a discussion about this, about it going in front of the planning board. And it may have been, I may have got my facts just a little bit different. It may have been the fact that the planning board, there was a discussion about whether the planning board should be the, you know, hear the case or hear the facts or not hear the facts. That may have required a state law change to it. But at the end of the day, we worked through with parties and people that were concerned about this, that showed up at the public hearings and voiced their concerns. And we worked through it with applicants that have plans that are sitting on the horizon, trying to get ready to move forward, and tried to reach a place where we thought we had some compromise. And I think you'll hear, as you know, some folks step forward, I think you'll hear that they thought we had gotten to a place where we had reached a fairly good compromise.
And it could be. It just seems strange to me that we don't have the authority to do something that we can create another board to do. That just seems sort of convoluted to me.
Councilwoman Diller, I know your next council, I think, wanted to opine on something in this conversation. I always like to go to council first, but if you're okay,
that's fine.
Okay, council.
I'm Carol Diller, council. I was a little bit confused about this myself, because I didn't see a parking garage as being a different use of the land, that such that it requires special use permit pursuant to Council Mitchell Collins. And I was just wondering why it wouldn't be limited use review when, with council setting the standards and land use approving or disapproving it based on where your council standards were met.
I'm not going to claim to have that specific answer for you, but I certainly will have our legal folks take a look at that.
And try that's to. Up to them, but I usually a limited review. My confusion is I don't see a parking garage as being a completely new use of the land or a different use of the land. Just a question. Thank you.
Councilwoman Dillon.
Yeah, I would just like a memo, an essay, giving us the background from state law and why this is necessary. I really think, you know, I'm assuming you're talking about Ms. Jacobson?
Yes.
Send it along. Thank you.
I think, too, potentially you're right, Councilwoman. Although lacking that memo, you know, for clarity, my guess is that, as George kind of referenced, that might have been deferred more towards the planning board. I'm not sure, but we'll find out when he gets the clarification. I too agree with Councilman Hollins, you know, on this. I mean, you know, I could see the parking garage having to go to the Board of Adjustment as, let's say, a redevelopment or something along that line that they're putting in after the fact for they'd have to go for that application. But if it's coming through with the original application, you know, and whether it be major, minor, whatever, we're approving it here, that's where it needs to come and that's where it needs to be, and it needs to be part of that process. Doesn't need to be swiped over into another board. I mean, we're the political body. We are the ones that represent the constituents, and we're the ones that have to carry their voice through onto this process and the legislation we make. I know the Board of Adjustment is, you know, they're appointed and they will make the decision that day, but we're actually the ones they elected to represent them. So I'm do feel a little bit more comfortable in, you know, being the design standards we're setting than what they're going to go through this body and not creating something different. But additional questions, members of council? Seeing none? Yes?
I'll just try to take a quick
swipe at what you just said or stare at what you just said. So in many cases, as in the case of one that will be trying to take advantage of this ordinance, I think, you have a record plan that's established. They're simply wanting to switch over from surface parking to structure parking. In many cases, that would have been handled as a minor land development plan, which would have never had a review in front of it, never risen to the level of review in front of council. So trying to find some way to weave in between, you know, no review to some public review or a system that was in place that currently existed, as opposed to we're going to keep beating and banging on this, you know, thing until we get it exactly right. I think that's the, you know, what landed us ultimately on the Board of Adjustment, because that system does exist. It meets, it functions, and it serves, and it's provided results from the past, you know, for that. I think you raise a, you know, good question, Carol, and I'll certainly try to have, you know, our legal counsel take a look at that, and we'll try to get you along. If I misspoke about the authority, I'm not here being an attorney, representing myself as an attorney. I know there was conversation and discussion that took place with that, and there's a broad conversation that took place with a lot of different folks, a lot of different ideas. That's how they get beaten, honed down to the place where they do. And certainly, as we're coming through to you, we're going to give deference to your thoughts and ideas as well. So.
Councilman Hollins?
Yeah, I would appreciate some response to council on the legal issue, but let's make it clear that council's process is also a public review. So it sort of sounds like, you know, Board of Adjustment is a public review, and we're not, but we're also a public review. So just want to make clear of that.
On it. And George, also, I'd like to caution that, I mean, today is Tuesday, so hopefully if we could get some kind of correspondence back maybe by like Thursday.
We'll try.
Maybe not Tuesday morning, just because of voting on this. Although this is a very important piece of legislation, something we'd have to discuss if it came down to the 11th hour. But I personally wouldn't want to see this get held up again, but we really need to, and we could look to make a change later, but that's a discussion we'll have. Additional questions, members of the public?
I'd like to say something if I could.
Okay.
If I may address you.
Yes.
Ian McConnell with Corporation Service Company. I'm a lawyer, in-house counsel. I can't opine on the issues with the Board of Adjustment one way or the other, but what I can tell you is what this means for us, and it's important, I think, for you all to hear that. We've been working with the county as best we can and with our neighbors as best we can to get to a point where we can move forward with the project that we have at the point. And we're getting to the point where we're not going to be able to stop the build-out of the property in a way that would pave over the land. We have to order hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of concrete in order to meet our timelines. We've got to rejigger plans and pay for architectural review to adjust. And the fact of it is that we have leases that we're currently, we've got six leases, and they're all going to come due. And we have servers in that building. Can't take the servers out of it. So we're going to actually have to build this thing one way or the other. And I understand that this is not the process that maybe you all want, but maybe it'd be something a little bit different here and there. But this has a very practical impact on our company and our ability to grow in northern Newcastle County. We want to be here. We really do. But you have to understand, this is a year and a half of us trying to get to a point where we can hopefully do something that we can be proud of, that you can be proud of, and this community can be proud of. And what you can create, you can change. If you don't like it in the Board of Adjustment, if you don't think it's the right spot for it, it can easily be adjusted at a later date. That's not for me to tell you one way or the other. What I can tell you is that if you delay, if you do not work towards a way for us to be able to move forward, the practical result of that will be us reevaluating whether or not we're going to stay in northern Newcastle County. That's a fact. And I just want to be plain about it, because this has been a very difficult process for us as we're trying to invest $100 million in a global headquarters in northern Newcastle County. And I don't see a single company on the horizon that's doing that. We're it. We've got 980 employees in Delaware, 2,000 worldwide, and we want to grow right here. And so what can be done can be undone. What isn't a perfect solution can be changed. What can be improved. But the delay now puts all of that in jeopardy. And that's for us to deal with and not for you to deal with. But that's the reality of it. Thank you.
Well, Ian, I definitely appreciate your comments. And I think, you know, you make a lot of valid points. And I am an advocate for this ordinance here that's before us today, and I'm not going to be in favor of tabling on Tuesday night. I hope we can get this done, and as you said, and we've discussed a little bit, there will be opportunities to come back and change it, but it's been a long process, it's been a grueling process, and I understand a lot of what you've went through, and I've heard a lot about it, so we need to get some kind of a resolution drawn here to finalize, so at least you can have some comfort and direction in where you need to go, and I think we owe that to you on Tuesday night. We certainly, as you said, have the opportunity to readdress this and come back and do it again to make some changes if we need to. I have Timmy and then I have Councilman Hollins.
Yeah, I just want to say that I got involved behind the scenes. Mr. Deuson is over here wanting to speak. Called him immediately because I heard there was a problem. I actually know the only reason why I know about your quiet company is I actually had a young man rent a room from me that I know very well that I said, okay, you stay here. He's moving up from the beach and they're just shortly going to get a house up here. But he stayed home and I asked him, I said, Justin, what are you home for? Is it a holiday? I mean, I was sincere when I said this. Is this a holiday or something I don't know about? And he said, nah, there's no room to park. I said, get out of here. I said, first of all, email Betsy and said, this might be an excuse coming up here soon. I've never heard of that one before, but let's plug that in. And then he worked from home with the 32-inch TV. I think I came in to Mr. Hollins and said, oh, man, we need this system and everything. This is how far we're behind. But believe me, we started working and called Mr. Deuson right away just because I heard I worked with him on different projects. And he said, no, we're on the way of this. So we actually, I think council actually moved this along a little bit. Mrs. Kilpatrick, I know I got involved and called her. So I don't see how this, I haven't heard anybody in that passing this next, a week from today. So
you should be good. I'll take that back to Rod.
And we may offer some changes, or we may even offer a substitute too, who knows, but at least I think we get to Tuesday night, we might be at a good spot. I'll be to the public in just a minute. I have Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I appreciate the comments from the representative, but it needs to be clear that the comments here are not meant to discourage anyone. I think that most members of council are in favor of this, but we still have a responsibility to make certain that we do it right and it's codified right and that going forward beyond what may be an advantage for the current employer, but going forward we're going to make certain that we have a process that works for everybody. In no way do I think council will try to put an impediment before an application that's pending, but we want to make certain that it's correct, and that's why we're having this meeting. This is our chance to comment on it, and it's what we do all the time. So it's not meant to suggest that somehow there's going to be a delay or that we don't want this to happen, but we have a responsibility here to make certain that it's codified and that we are part of a process that is going to work for not only for this particular application, but for applications that are yet to be coming before us. Yes.
Councilwoman Diller.
Yeah, I mean, the point is that it takes much more energy to get something redone than it does to get it done right the first time. So I think that if we're, I'm just curious as to why it took a year and a half for this thing to show up here. I think a substitute that maybe we could work on between now and then would be really a good idea. I don't want to hold these people up. They've got a building to build, but I do think, I have real questions about the process that's proposed.
And I think, bluntly, they don't care how we do it or the process. They just need to come.
I get that.
Right.
I care how we do it.
We hear your pain.
Yeah, we're on a different page than that.
But we got our own pain.
Right.
Going to the public.
Yeah, Tom Deuson, hadn't planned on speaking, but I did want to provide a little perspective here, given the discussion we've just had, and frankly, in full support where Ian is. We have been working on this for 8 months. It has been an incredible ordeal. This project at CSC, under the current code today, if we proceeded, the parking garage would be a major plan. It would mean it'd have to go to the planning board, it'd have a traffic study, other studies, and come to council. So checks and balances, which are very, very important to the public, but an incredibly involved process. And we have been working for 8 months with the county law department, the land use department, all of the surrounding communities, and CSC to try to find the middle ground that works for all of us. A streamlined process for the applicant, but essential protections for the public. That's why if the public is going to give up a major plan and thus give up review by the planning board and review by council, we need something with certainty. And what the law department came up with, which we have great respect for, was the special use designation through the Board of Adjustment, because it's an on-off switch. They can disapprove, whereas limited uses and other things don't have that on-off switch. And so we in the community, we have worked for months. How do we find something here that works for the applicant, who we strongly support, a major player, and frankly what they proposed will be a tremendous addition to our community, and yet provide the public with the essential protections we need, not just in this instance, but all the plans that logically are going to be coming down the road. And so that's been our perspective. The broader one of once CSC is built, which we fully support, how will this be used? Does it give us those essential protections if we're going to give up the designation as a major plan and give up review by council, which we highly value? What review can we have in its place which is more streamlined to help the development community and yet protect us? And that's why the Board of Adjustment, and specifically a special use designation, because it has the on-off switch, approved, disapproved, whereas limited uses do not. Okay? And that's why there's been so much pain going into crafting the exact language that exists today in Substitute 1, and it's something we strongly support in the community. And I believe, not speaking for Ian, the CSC strongly supports it also. Absolutely. So I just want you to have that background of how much pain has gone into this, all the combinations of permutations that we've looked at with the county law department, with the land use department, and also discussions with some members of council, and the sifting that has gone on to arrive at this very specific language here. And it's been 8 months. So. Didn't mean to take everyone's time, but I just want you to have that background.
And thank you for that perspective, Tom, because obviously I don't know if any of us at the table are even in this meeting, so some of that perspective.
Been right. A lot of effort going into
it. Right. Councilman Hollins.
And I agree with Mr. Dewson. I appreciate that, and I know how much time that I've read that's gone into this, like any other application before council. However, that does not exempt council from the role that council plays here. The role here that council is playing, this is the first land use agenda I believe this has been on. So for us to sit here silent because someone has been working in some other place and time and group of people as if we don't care, then we should not even have these meetings. But as long as council is part of this process and council is going to have these meetings, then council should ask questions of concerns that council has. So no disrespect to how long you've been working, which most members of council don't know when these meetings began. This is the first meeting of the Land Use Committee of the County Council. When the meetings happen here, the County Council, if it's doing its due diligence, is going to ask the same questions. Hopefully it won't take us 8 months, as it's taken you with land use or whomever, but we do have that responsibility. So don't take it as somehow it's the comments that are made here, the questions that are asked here, or somehow an indication that we don't support CSC or your efforts or the community's effort, but it's part of the process, no different than Barley Mill.
Additional questions out of the public?
Yes.
Mark Blake from GATA, Greater Hokesson Area Development Association, a fellow civic umbrella group like Mr. Dusen belongs to. We're here also to support them in this endeavor, and we know that the timing isn't perfect. I mean, this would be wonderful if this had been brought up earlier in the process and had the ability to be fully vetted. The good news is the legal department has done that, and while it might not be a perfect compromise from the standpoint of the procedural issues, it does accomplish the goals that both the county government and the public looks for, which is a good development plan for a very good resident and business employer of the community who has, I think it's 6 different sites right now that they're trying to consolidate. And we've all read the stories in the paper. I mean, it's no veiled threat. They have to do something. And I think the good news is that this covers this particular issue. And I would implore council to take this one through. The protections are there. Review them to the satisfaction, Councilman Hollins, that you want to have. And I agree with that. You shouldn't do something based on what someone says. Read it. Make sure it's proper. Council to Council Doolin can review what the land use department attorneys have done and make sure that there's nothing in there that's been slipped in. I think you'll find it's there. It's all there for both sides to come up with a compromise. And we know when this started, there was going to be a massive sprawl. And one of the things that the folks in Hokesson always look at is sprawl is not good. We sit on the drinking supply for basically the three-state area out in the aquifer, and anytime we can reduce the mass of land that gets paved over to impervious, it improves the community for everyone. And this project, I know the picture that's up there right now shows what it would have been under the normal process, and it's just amazing how little green there is. And when you put in that one parking structure, which we have one out at the Hokesson Athletic Club, and it would have done the same thing. And we sit on this aquifer, and anytime we can get a chance to add more infiltration, it helps recharge that aquifer. This project, although indirectly not on the aquifer, will feed into that watershed and will help. And having that large open field properly developed with the structures and the water systems and engineering that have gone into this, I know we've worked with Mr. Williams or seen the plans Mr. Williams has put together for the applicant. They are better than what would have been done even 5 years ago. We sit in Hokesson with all sorts of new technologies. We're your guinea pig when it came to water infiltration systems, which are now standards in Newcastle County, the state of Delaware, and national winners. We still point to the Hokesson Fire Hall. That was totally a system that was designed on a, wow, this is crazy, and it is now a national standard and was the award winner that year for water treatment and infiltration in the entire country. Number one design system. And it's something that the county land use department has now made available to other applicants. And parts of that are seen here. They're seen in other applicants' plans and programs. I know Mr. Terabikas is here. He has done a lot of that. So we know there's protections for the environment, the community, and for council. And we would ask you to support this. Yes, we understand this may not be a perfect end to what everyone wants to have see in this process, but there's nothing in here that's going to be a gotcha. And I agree with Councilwoman Diller that maybe that getting the comments from the land use attorneys to clarify those points before the next council meeting is absolutely necessary. But move this through, support this. 1,000-plus jobs are at stake. That's not a reason to say yes, but it sure is a reason to not say no right away, to look at it diligently, and help this applicant move forward in the process. We can always go back. I understand it's a little tougher to go back, but that's life. We all have to do that and sort of get the perfect legislation in place on this. And we would just ask for your support. I know I've talked with Mr. Dusen and his folks on this a lot, and we share a lot of the same concerns on a lot of issues. Sometimes we don't always agree on things. That's okay. That's the process. So we would just ask you to support this. Make this your test case. We can always go back and look at it later and make it perfect for what needs to be done so that in the future it will be a streamlined process that won't take 18 months for every applicant that comes in to provide new structures and employment. Thank you.
Additional questions? Okay, seeing none, we're going to move on to the next item on the agenda, the long-anticipated update on the UDC.
Afternoon, council members. My name is Reed MacMillan, and I'm the Assistant Land Use Administrator for Land Use Department. And this afternoon, I'm going to provide a quick cursory review about the UDC revision project. There are 7 slides here, and it's basically going to provide some information about how it began, where it is today, and where it'll be headed in the next few months. Next slide, please. Regarding how it began, the initial outreach and engagement activities by Eileen Fogarty was utilized to assess the land development process in Newcastle County. Results from these engagement activities were used in developing and completing studies such as the Action Plan and Operational Efficiency Study. It also became apparent that the Newcastle County Unified Development Code would need to be assessed and modified in order to address the many common themes in the discussion results heard during the engagement activities from interested citizens, groups, and stakeholders. Next slide, please. The approach to revise the UDC is based on a collaborative process utilizing workshops and focus group meetings and a transparent effort to identify challenges and areas of improvement for the UDC. The process, 1, assesses the land development review procedures, 2, incorporates more design review initiatives which address how the building, site, and amenities will look after the project is built, and 3, assesses the many UDC amendments which have occurred since 1998. Next slide, please. Eileen Fogarty drafted a scope of work which included collaborative public outreach effort, its summaries of the best practices which could be incorporated into the UDC, and short-term UDC amendments which would codify some of the recommended changes in the UDC. What the Planning Board and the Council can expect to see are UDC amendments which are best categorized as being a 3-phased effort in the overall UDC revision process. Each phase includes a workshop and focus group, meeting to identify concepts and provides information about the UDC revision process. In phase 1, for example, proposed concepts of the guiding principles, neighborhood preservation overlay district, and an economic empowerment district were reviewed using small group discussions and planning scenarios to solicit comments regarding these concepts. After receiving input from the workshops and focus group meetings, the concepts will then be drafted in some sort of ordinance form and processed as a text amendment to the UDC. This will be the same process for phases 2 and 3. Next slide, please. Regarding where it is today, as previously mentioned, phase 1 includes 3 concepts. The guiding principles will be a document to guide land development process addressing building design, site design, and amenities such as open space, and be required for the development applications such as rezonings, variances, special use permits, and subdivision plans. The Neighborhood Preservation Overlay District establishes clear neighborhood compatibility standards regarding distance, height, scale, and design of the development. The Economic Empowerment District includes building, site, amenity standards with the goal to mitigate traffic generation, include effective traffic circulation and multimodal transportation demand management solutions, and provide transitional standards to protect surrounding residential communities. We are still reviewing the comments regarding the EED and specifically if it would be better suited as a standalone zoning district or overlay district. This will be finalized when the draft ordinance has been completed sometime in the next few weeks. As depicted in the timeline, we have completed 2 public workshops and a focus group meeting. These 3 concepts will be drafted into 3 text amendments for the UDC, and we are targeting introduction at the beginning of September. All 3 documents will go through the normal text amendment process as depicted in the timeline. Next slide, please. Phase 2 includes healthy communities and placemaking and also development standards. The healthy communities and placemaking concept is best described as design metrics which promote healthier, more efficient development standards to facilitate walkable, mixed-use development. Changes may include commercial building designs and also standards which promote walkability. The development standards will be summarized in applicable zoning districts and include standards for building, site, and amenities, which include parking and landscaping standards to ensure that they are compatible in the context of the development and/or redevelopment to avoid unnecessary waste of land and/or environmental resources. Similar to phase 1, these 2 concepts will incorporate comments received at the workshop and focus group meetings currently targeted for September, and then may be drafted into two text amendments for the UDC. These documents are targeted to be introduced in November, and both documents will go through the normal text amendment process as depicted in the timeline. Next slide, please. Regarding where it will be headed, Phase 3 includes a final effort in the text amendment to the revised UDC. The UDC draft will implement the neighborhood protection, job creation, and community character objectives addressed in Phases 1 and 2 by incorporating the previous text amendments, establish new or revised zoning districts, new or revised development standards, and actions that make the land development approval process predictable. The final effort will incorporate work completed in the prior tasks, eliminate inconsistencies with other parts of the UDC, and ensure that the new standards and procedures are functional and easy to understand by community members, applicants, and the staff. Similar to Phases 1 and 2, the UDC may be drafted into a final text amendment and introduced at the beginning of January 2016. Similar to Phases 1 and 2, information and comments from the workshop and focus group currently targeted for December 2015 will be received before the final effort goes through the normal text amendment process as depicted in the project timeline, with the final objective to be an approved UDC document on May 24, 2016. Next slide, please. Finally, we intend to use the UDC website to share information on the UDC revision process. Currently, information is available regarding Phase 1, and once those ordinances are completed, they will be available here as well. The next workshop is targeted for September 23rd, and once a location has been determined, notices will be sent to the previous participants and information posted on the site. I want to clarify something. I gave a presentation in the planning board this morning, and a member reminded me that September 23rd is a holiday, so suggested that I change that date, and once a new date is determined, possibly the 16th or 17th of September, I'll make sure that everybody's aware of that. Next slide, please. In closing, as stated earlier in this presentation, the major revisions to the UDC will be processed in three series of text amendments. This provides an incremental review of the changes in lieu of waiting until January of 2016 and reviewing all the changes at one time. This concludes the overview briefing. I'm here to take any of your questions.
Councilwoman Dillon.
Yes, going back to that, one of the first couple of pages where you have Phase 1, these overlay districts, once we have a process for putting them in place, one of the issues that I remember with some of the preservation issues was staffing to support those overlay districts. So I guess my question is, do you feel that you have the staff to do overlay districts and to be able to support the communities? Because this is going to take some work on the community's part to kind of come together and get a, you know, get an understanding and then an agreement on that. So I guess my question is, you know, how are we going to support the communities with staffing from land use in all of that?
Yes, ma'am. Right now, the ordinance hasn't been in its final phase to be introduced. But the concept is that the community would be able to submit an overlay district, as well as council could direct an overlay district to be submitted.
Okay.
So your main question is, what if everybody starts submitting these overlay districts at one time? We don't have enough staff, and you're correct in that assumption. So an idea that we're talking about at the workshops are to link the overlay districts to the current studies that WMAPCO is doing, corridor studies that are out there. They have already identified areas that might need to be preserved or protected, to start that process to see how these overlay districts would work, and then we would be able to determine how much manpower or hours would be involved in getting one overlay district process. And we would probably be able to get back to council and let you all know the actual amount of energy that's going in there. So right now, we'd like to have the ordinance there. They would have to do it a one-by-one case.
Right.
would go through a normal tax amendment after an overlay is decided, and then we would be able to track how many hours are involved on staff time.
Okay. Just curious.
But that's a good point.
You're in place.
Yeah, you really have an elaborate process there, Reed. And also, one of the concerns I've seen up there, just, you know, quickly, was your timeline. So just be a little bit cautious as you're getting into that May. We're in our heated budget cycle then, too. So, you know, you stretch a little bit farther, you may want to just maybe stall it and go a little bit later, but at least try to hold that timeline or a little sooner, because it'll be better for this body.
Yes, sir. And that was one of the reasons why we're trying to break it out into three phases, so that the public and that you all wouldn't be overwhelmed by, you know, right now the UDC has 188,050 words, 515 pages of information. We're planning on introducing possibly five tax amendments to it, and then phase three is all the cleanup. Board of Adjustment, variances, all these different things. So we're trying to stage this out. If anything, we really want to try to get to that, because we understand that you all have the budget. So the last public, that's why I gave out the timeline. The only changes, those are actual dates for PLUS and Planning Board and Council meetings. The only changes would be the September 23rd workshop, and the I think December 9th is also a holiday, and that might be pushed back. But other than that, all those dates, we're going to really try to stay with it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I mean, we don't shut the government down because we're in the budget process. It's just probably, you know, right.
Yes, sir.
You know, we hate omnibuses, so we like to see them, you know, slowly and one at a time. So.
Yes, sir. And that's why during the workshops and also focus groups, we want to try to put all this out and share the information on the website wherever possible.
Any more questions of council? Anybody from the public? All right, well, under other, anybody have anything under other? Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Reed.
On our last meeting, legislative session, we had a plan, Summit Bridge West, and that plan barely passed this council by 7 votes. And the fact of the matter is, when we are reviewing these plans, our role is ministerial. And it really surprised me, and it really sort of made me wonder what's going on. That is there some misunderstanding on council, or maybe something that I'm missing? So for the record, I want to be very clear, because this happened before, when we had a plan before us, and we only had 7 votes. I asked the council to council at that point to remind county council what our role is. For a period of time, when we had a plan before us, council to council would remind council what our role is. But it seems to me that we're getting very close to being in a danger zone by only 7 members voting for a plan without any discussion, no controversy, no attempt to send it back for further review. And what the code says, when a plan is before us, we can send it back a couple of times with specific language for specific review from a specific agency. That did not happen at our last meeting. It was a 7 vote to get the plan passed, with a number of council members obviously voting against it, a number of council members not voting at all. And I just think that it needs to be very clear. And for one council member, I want to be on the record of saying that I have a concern that this happened again and that it may happen in the future. So I don't know what it takes to get some understanding among council members, but I think the courts have been very clear about predictability. When an application has gone through and comes to this body and what our role is, and if it's not clear, then maybe we need to have some more discussions in land use about what our role really is.
It could potentially help, I think, but ultimately, I mean, you know, the sponsor didn't in that particular application, but I don't know, and like you said, there wasn't any real concern shared. I'm not sure if it had to do a lot with the red light issue that kind of was touched on. I did reach out to the Secretary of Transportation. Although I was not able to directly communicate with her, I just, maybe because of the process, even though we're another government, but I had to communicate with her aide. In order for us to have her here, we have to fill out a questionnaire. So we're not allowed to just ask her to come. We have to see about submitting questions ahead of time, all kinds of stuff. So my aide's in the process of filling it out to the best we can do it, and we're going to invite her in September to come and talk, and I don't know if that'll help with some of the concerns I heard there, but I don't, I'm just surmising because that wasn't the reason given.
I just think in that case that we send it back and we say that. You know, we don't leave half a member of council guessing what's going on. But that member of that many members of council were voting the way they did. So if there is an issue with the traffic signal, drainage, wherever the issue may be, then send it back. That's what the code allows us to do with that specific question. Back to that agency, whether it be DelDOT or DENREC or whomever, then it would be clarity among council members what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Councilman Sheldon.
Yes, and I agree with Councilman Hollins. I sat down and I said, what the heck did I miss? I mean, I was really baffled because it wasn't a big, I didn't see it as a controversial plan, but it's not my district. I think my question goes to Councilor. She doesn't have to reply now, but the last Councilor, when I asked, because it was the plan about Greenville overlay is what it was. It met everything and people, it was about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe longer, and it was a by right plan, and I think it passed 7-6 also. But the last council said that if that had not passed, that the council members themselves that voted against it, the 7 or 8, whatever, would be subject to the lawsuit and not all of county council. Can you just look in there? You don't have to answer that right now, but it's a good question because we can keep saying it, but if nobody's going to listen, but one of these days, it's not going to pass. And I hate to see somebody say, oh my, it's true. I got to pony up 10 grand immediately for,
Pearl Daly, Council. I can answer that part right now. The code is quite explicit, as Councilmember Holland said, and as you all are aware, that council's role is purely ministerial. That's because the courts have determined that if an applicant follows the immense UDC and everything that council has adopted, they cannot arbitrarily deny them the right to go forward. That has been decided at federal court and in state court. That is spelled out clearly in the UDC. Your role as council members, you have two opportunities to help. I mean, if there are questions in the community, to send it back. That's your role. Council really could eliminate that and decided not to because they wanted to have the community and to have the opportunity to ask questions, but there is not an opportunity to turn it down. Now, as far as an individual, and this probably is not the place to discuss potential liability in an open session. However, I would remind, or in reply to that, there are standards for representation and indemnification for anyone in the Newcastle County Code. And the 5 criteria include that they are acting in the scope of their authority. That would be the first question one might ask, whether there's authority to deny a amendment. You don't have authority to deny. In good faith, believe that you're acting within the scope of business, et cetera, if you are aware of this criteria. So without going further into detail in a public session, I would tell you that those criteria are clearly enunciated in the code.
All right, thanks. I'll wait later on then for the answer.
And I'll just venture out to tell you, just because I've already discussed this over a certain thing, prior council was wrong.
Oh, okay then. Well, that's fine. Yeah. But it puts it in perspective though. I mean, all of a sudden you want to be a hero and then guess what?
Right. And the way it was mainly, we're a body, and if the body is sued, it's the body who undertakes that. So.
Right.
Another question, yes.
Larry Tarafikas for the rest of it. I mean, Councilman Holland brings up a good point. I heard about what transpired, and if we should have all learned something from Tom Dewson and his neighbors, that 7 votes doesn't mean you won. So, I mean, if one of those 7 votes had been invalidated, you have a real problem on your hands right now. If someone of those 7 said, oops, I meant to consider something, I made a mistake, then you have a problem, and it may not be personal liability for the council people, but the county. I mean, I can't see how the county would avoid a claim for legal fees, damages, everything else in that case. So, I think Councilman Hollins raises a good point, but I I've told people for 30 years the only thing worse than losing a rezoning or a vote is winning by a 7-6 vote. And Tom proved that.
All right, anything else under other? Public comment? Well, we don't need a motion to adjourn because we didn't have a quorum and we now officially have a quorum.